Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents, recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
I'm a Republican, lick the Slurpee machine.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, with your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Sleep debt can make you cry and make you want to die and have your eyes feel wide and it's just sleepwalking zombies.
Nice.
It's appropriate. Yeah. At the mall, Santa pulled his pants down. Hi, this is Luke.
This is Carrie.
And this is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
I think the rapport will be particularly bad this morning. Because it's morning.
Because it's Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Good God. Why are we awake?
Trust me, I was asking myself the same question when my alarm went off at 8. So we are recording in the morning for the first and hopefully last time.
Yeah, it just, you know. I mean, not that, you know, you and I are answering to any powers that be, but, you know, I do want us to try to stick to having an episode come out every other week,
right?
You know, within the calendar, Monday through Sunday week.
Yep.
So this is our way of making sure we had an episode this week was
yep.
Me coming out to Carrie's place and recording it at her place before I head out to Ed DeBevick's to draw caricatures for the day. Yeah.
So our next episode should be in the middle of the week, as it usually is, probably the Tuesday after Christmas.
Hopefully.
Slash the Tuesday before New Year's.
Yeah, that's when I have it. That's what I have written down on my old Google Calendar thingy.
Because I'm a little busy that Thursday, New Year's Eve party and everything.
Yes, and I have to work at Key Lime Cove because I basically was, blackmailed into having to go there.
Well, you should come to the party. Anyways, it's like 9 hours long. There must be somewhere in there that you can go.
Well, I mean, basically, you know, I could get here by about 2 a.m., I think. So,
well,
knowing Blasted Bill Putt, you'll still be partying at 2 a.m.
Oh, yes. Officially, the party will be going on till... Officially, it's till 4. But if you didn't get the invite, then you're probably not invited.
Yes, because we have to remind ourselves you can't invite everybody.
Right.
Especially when you're planning a wedding. And some people are just going to have to suck it up and realize that things cost a crap load of money. And when you're paying for things yourself, and you just need to say, all right, you know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on. Comments.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. You start.
So from the last episode, there was a comment that I missed because I forgot to approve it, and it didn't magically appear until after the episode. So this is... a comment an episode late from Odd Austin. I think it's a pretty awesome looking track list for the Greatest Hits record, Luke. Actually, I think there may be room for at least another hit since your albums have more tracks than 18 usually. May I suggest Because I'm Jedi, Baby Got Brack, or Bart Simpson? Well, after the last episode Carrie and I had, I actually put together a potential 2-disc version of Greatest Hits, and I'm really happy with the way that track list looks. It does have Because I'm Jedi and Baby Got Brack on it. It does not have Bart Simpson, because, I don't know, overall that song was just never as popular. But we have 88 Lines by 44 Simpsons on it.
I like Bart Simpson better. Here. Okay. Arkel said on our website, "Fucking A, dude. My dad and I loved Joe's Apartment, and the end of the episode brought it all back. Thanks for that. It is a shame they never released a soundtrack for that." Yeah, I've never seen it, but after I heard that, I became very interested in seeing it, so Luke brought the DVD over for me to borrow.
Yeah, I forgot to mention this when I played that the first time. When I saw Joe's Apartment in the theater, I mean, and it was being advertised, it's MTV's first movie, you know, based on the short from Liquid Television. So I go see the movie, I loved it, and, you know, because it was an MTV movie, there's a lot of great music in it, there's Green Day, there's all kinds of... you know, great rockin' bands playing music. I immediately went from the mall. I saw it in a mall. I went to the mall's music store. They didn't have it. I went to like another music store. They didn't have it. I drove to a Best Buy. They didn't have it. There was no soundtrack album release. This is Music Television's first movie.
That really makes sense.
Didn't release a soundtrack. Yeah, that's what I've been saying for freaking years. So, you know, and then like Beavis and Butthead Do America comes out, and then MTV's like, it's MTV's first movie, and I'm like, you're lying! You made another movie!
Did they say it was MTV's first movie?
I'm pretty sure they did. I'm pretty sure I remember
them
trying to pretend Joe's apartment didn't exist or something.
All I remember, I do remember seeing a whole hell of a lot of commercials for Joe's apartment, but I have never seen the movie.
Well, you can now witness it in its full awesome glory. And the main two roaches, even though their voices are like sped up either, you know, old school style or new technology style, the voices of the two main roaches are done by Billy West and Dave Chappelle.
Nice.
Rodney and Ralph Roach.
That makes it even more appealing. But the music was really well done on that medley. I mean, like barbershop quartet, like tight harmonies. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So go ahead and read Tom Reed's comment.
All right, Tom Reed's comment. Interesting stuff, despite the length you worried about so much. I wouldn't want to hear you go so long every show, but this time it worked. Nothing but treble sounds great, but they need Luke's expertise with recording. And maybe a concert performance with good mics. The music from Joe's apartment gave me nasty memories of the show It's Tough to Be a Bug over at Disney's Animal Kingdom. All you need was the feeling of bugs running underneath your butt in your seat to make the feeling completely creepy. Hope you guys have a happy holiday. Let's hope Santa brings you nicely completed segment intros and closes this year.
Well, I don't know if it'll be this year, but...
I really liked It's Tough to Be a Bug, the Pixar 3D movie at Animal Kingdom.
Never seen it. Did I?
Remember the thing inside the tree? It was a 3D movie with the bugs doing a show, and there was a part where, like, like stinky smell comes out because there's, like, a dung beetle or something like that, and...
I really don't remember it. I have a bad memory. I'm old. Okay, I'm going to read Pooh Bear's comment.
Yay, Pooh Bear.
Finally listened to all episodes this week. 3 tonight alone. Wow, that's hardcore. It is more than tolerable and getting better each episode. I don't mind the burping at all. You've made my overtime hours at work easier to handle. I'll try and keep up now that I've caught up.
Thank you very much, Pooh Bear.
Now you're going to hand me the headphones because I haven't
yet. You haven't heard this yet. I forgot to bring the headphone splitter, so...
We're sharing a pair.
So this is the our first Google Voice message comment. And it is from our friend who is known as Pants.
Yay!
So here is Pants.
Hi, Luke and Carrie. This is Pants. I just wanted to call and tell you guys have a damn fine show going. I wanted to see what Luke thought about Disney going back to their original 2D style instead of more Pixar CGI. I also want to know if you guys are doing a live podcast at MarsCon. Keep doing what you're doing and keep doing it as well as you're doing it. Bye.
Oh, yeah, you didn't do this.
Oh, well.
thanks, Pants. There's some goofy noises in that. I don't know if it was on Pants' end or on our end, but sorry about the goofy noises, guys.
So, I can't remember what he said.
He wanted us to discuss Pixar going to a 2D deal then instead of a 3D animation.
You mean Disney?
Animation. Well, yeah, Disney.
He mentioned Pixar,
Disney,
but...
Pixar.
And then there was MarsCon.
Yep, he asked if we are going to do a live podcast at MarsCon.
I don't want to rule it out, but you have to understand MarsCon, especially for me, is such an incredibly busy situation that it's really hard for me to, you know, plan things in advance. You know, it's kind of like we know that there's a really good chance that Blasted Bill and you know, if she's there, Moonbeam, we're probably going to do some form of...
Moonbeam said she's not going to MarsCon.
But
I'm sure Blasted Bill will record something for his podcast there anyway.
It's so basically, if me and Carrie don't do an official bad rapport, you know, we know Blasted Bill will be doing something. And, you know, so we can just, you know, ride his coattails so that we don't have to do extra work.
Yeah.
Yay!
By the way, I'm sorry I haven't showered today.
Well, I didn't notice. What about you, Buffy Kitty? I'm a Buffy Kitty, and just shut up because I'm sleeping. You should both be asleep, too.
Yeah, last night when we were setting up, I imagined we'd have two rambunctious kitties, like, running around, like, you know, destroying things in the background, but they're both sleeping.
Yeah.
Like they should be. Like, yeah.
So we have a couple of iTunes reviews since the last time we mentioned it, and our current average is 4.5 stars there.
Yay!
So from Max JLA, he says, "It's like chilling with Luke and Carrie. Love the podcast, guys. Makes me feel like I'm just hanging out with my new best buddies, Luke and Carrie. The musical choices have been great so far. Love the fact that you got some Julie Brown in there. Good to hear her again. Carrie is right, though. The burping needs to go, Luke. Maybe you should include a new segment." That was Carrie that time. "Maybe you should include a new segment for Carrie called Who Has Carrie Hit This Week Besides Luke? Since she usually smacks someone during the podcast. Can't wait for you guys to come back to Archon in St. Louis next year. Love Luke's extended encore this year. Keep up the great work. 5 stars."
Yay! Woohoo! That was the first and last time I'm going to burp in the mic, by the way.
Okay.
Okay, Dr. Don did an iTunes review. "This podcast rocks. As a fan of both Luke and Carrie, I can say this podcast is the shiznits. It's great to hear some of the background of the songs and events. Good music played, and I love News of the Stupid. They are doing a great job taking over for Devo Spice. Why, thank you. They talk about whatever for an hour and manage to keep it interesting. Subscribe now. 5 stars."
Yay!
Yay!
We've gotten 7 people have rated us thus far, and 4 of them have given us 5 stars, and 3 of them have given us 4 stars.
Yay!
So, yay! People seem to enjoy what we're doing to a degree.
Keep writing the iTunes reviews. Yes, I am a fan of myself on Facebook now. We do have a Facebook page, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Become a fan. But I'm not going to go write my own iTunes review because that would be just wrong.
Yes.
But, okay, what's next on the Mighty Agenda? Are we playing a song?
Well, yeah. How about, why don't we shift these 2 things down? We'll play a song now.
Okay.
Just because I like the flow of that idea. So, okay, time for our first song. Here, you take the headphones so you can hear it.
Okay.
And when it starts, turn the volume-y thing down. So, here is a track from Dr. Demento's album called Holidays and Dementia. It was recorded live on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. It's Mona Aboud, I think that's how you pronounce her name, Mona Aboud, with a song called The Pretty Little Dolly. So, here we go.
"Dear Santa Claus, my mommy and daddy said that if I was very good, I could have whatever I wanted for Christmas. Well, I would like a dolly for Christmas. It is a very special dolly. I saw it advertised on television. In case you don't know which dolly I mean, I will try to describe it to you. The pretty little dolly can sit. The pretty little dolly can stand. She will even walk around the room if you take her hand. The pretty little dolly can turn. The pretty little dolly can dance. If you feed her water through a tube, she will wet her pants. Shout, hold her footsies high above her head and she passes out. The pretty little dolly can plead. The pretty little dolly can beg. And she screams in realistic pain when you break her leg. Cry.
that was pretty cool. By the way, for some reason we didn't mention this, but for the first time we were recording at my place in Chicago proper.
I mentioned it earlier.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm so fucking tired. Even though there are two cats at Luke and Sarah's place, the two cats at Luke and Sarah's place seem to be, like, quiet and, like, dignified and... Do they ever, like, run around and chase each other?
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. They can get quite scamperous. In fact, Snowshoe was stalking their little catnip mousy-looking toy the other day in a way that me and Sarah had never seen Snowshoe do before. We were just, like, sitting there watching it, and she was, like jumping over it and, like, rearing up and all this stuff. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Chewy kind of ran up like, hey, I'm the one who's supposed to be all cute and rambunctious and, like, kind of, you know, challenge the position. But every so often, especially that we have the hardwood floors, it's like we'll be in some room and all of a sudden we'll hear...
Yeah.
Plus the hardwood floors are great for the Scooby-Doo thing.
Oh, where it's like my cats just, do that big time.
Where it's like something happens and they try to leap, but then they start running and they don't move right away. It's like...
And like their back legs are dragging behind them as they're trying to run faster than their feet can actually get traction on the hardwood floors.
Yes.
Yeah, I have hardwood floors in my apartment and... we used to make fun of Buffy for doing that, but Willow actually does that even more hilariously. But I thought for sure one of two things would happen, that they would either be running around and fighting, or that Willow would want to come up and be on my lap, and then I could sing Willow songs. But they're both sleeping separately, not paying any attention to us whatsoever. So I guess I'll stop talking about cats.
Yeah.
So, I touched base with Chris Mezzalesta regarding the stingers for things, and you know he seems to be open to the notion of making them, and I emailed him a little list and I cut out that segment of the show where we talked about it and made it into an MP3 and sent that to him.
Chris Mezzalesta is the rock source.
Yes, and so
new song is awesome too. You should to thefump.com and listen to Power Salad's new song, which is called
Santa's Gonna Telecommute This Christmas.
Yes, it's awesome.
Yes. But right now we're going to go on to our non-spoiler movie review.
Okay.
So we have... What the hell is that?
That's Willow sneezing.
That was four sneezes. I hope the mic picked it. Five, six, seven.
Willow is a sneezy girl. She has a persistent nasal infection, and we're doing everything we can for her right now. And I think that's why we couldn't reschedule our Hawaii trip to be in January, because we're like, looks like we're going to be paying $600 or $700 in vet bills in January. Yay!
Eight
sneezes. Anyway, you're on sneeze count.
We gotta do the movie review theme. Movie review! Normally I do that much louder, but you have neighbors.
Yes, in fact, now my landlord lives across the hall.
Oh, really?
Other apartment on this floor.
My... So anyway, the non-spoiler movie review for Princess and the Frog. It's awesome and it rules and it's the best ever and go see it. Yay, two thumbs up, four stars.
It's not the best ever. It's it's better than, Pocahontas, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Hercules, and all those ones that came out after The Lion King that weren't as good as the Mighty Four, The Little Mermaid,
Beauty and the Beast,
Aladdin, and The Lion King. To me, it definitely it doesn't rank up with those, because the music and the lyrics don't rank up with those for the Alan Menken, of Disney are gone.
Howard Ashman and Alan Menken did
thank you. Thank you for actually knowing their names.
One of the reasons I know their names is because they're the two that wrote Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, okay.
So they did Little Shop of Horrors first, then they did Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Then they did Beauty and the Beast. Then, while making Aladdin, Howard Ashman passed away.
Yeah.
And Alan Menken continued on with Tim Rice to finish off that movie, and then. I believe it was Elton John and Tim Rice who did Lion King.
Yeah.
So.
And now, you know, none of those awesome people that made the awesome music in those four. Now, I don't want to get too down on the Princess and the Frog music, because I really enjoy the jazziness, the bluegrass, and, you know, honky tonk, all that stuff. You know, the singing's great. The performances are wonderful. I mean, it's they're great arrangements, but it just, you know, it doesn't up to the lyrics of those.
Let me ask you something. Going into this movie, did you know that Randy Newman had made the music?
Yes, because you told me.
Oh, okay.
But
so
that didn't really affect my opinion.
I don't know. I shouldn't have told you. This is the way I look at it. For a brief side note, the other movies you mentioned, it was like this like roller coaster, like building up increase of awesomeness, like Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin,
yep.
Lion King, and then
yep, exactly.
Pocahontas. Pocahontas yep, exactly. Ruined it. Now, I really liked Hunchback of Notre Dame. I also liked Hercules, Mulan, Tarzan.
I mean, I wouldn't say
Lilo
any of those
Stitch,
are bad
you know.
Movies. Not even, I wouldn't even
Emperor's
say Pocahontas is bad, but they're just, you know, like you said, it just kept building up and building
it's
up,
like,
and each one was better than the last one, and it, you know, so you thought Pocahontas yeah. would be amazing, and not so much.
It just makes me wonder, you know, if somehow Pocahontas could be removed from history, if people would have, if Hunchback of Notre Dame would have been a lot more successful and a lot more, you know, revered as a Disney classic if Pocahontas hadn't screwed up the pattern, you know. So
I saw Hunchback of Notre Dame, as they pronounce it in that case. I think I saw it a couple times, and I mean, it's not terrible, but, you know, it's not great. It's just not great.
I think it's great. I really, really liked it.
But
anyway.
You know, Princess and the Frog, I mean, some other things I loved how they captured New Orleans, because New Orleans is, like, still my favorite city of all time. In fact, here's my 2010 calendar, New Orleans, even though I've only been there twice. And the last time was in 2003, which means I haven't been there post-Katrina, which saddens me because I'd love to go once a year, but, you know, I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, New Orleans, in spite of having been to Vienna and Venice and everything, New Orleans is still my favorite city of any place I've ever been to. But, yeah, so they did an excellent job of capturing New Orleans in cartoon and... I liked the characters. The alligator dude was probably my
Louis.
Favorite character. Yeah.
It's the way I look at it in general is, we mentioned the big four, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin and the Lion King, which are kind of the four kick-ass classics of the modern Disney animation era. And I think that Princess and the Frog makes a good fifth. Like if the main four are the top four in whatever order you'd rank them, 1, 2, 3, and 4, like Princess and the Frog is number 5. I think you could like draw a circle around those 5 and say this is an incredible set of 5 movies. I do generally agree with you that, you know, the music doesn't live up to the music of the other big four, but I do think there's, you know, I think the main reason that it doesn't quite live up is that, you know, especially with Ashman and Mankin, you know, they just had that real Broadway stage musical style of writing songs,
yeah.
Where it was an actual song, like verse, chorus, bridge, you know, verse, chorus or something. And, you know, you could catch yourself singing that to yourself, you know, any given day of the week. Not to mention, from a point of view of comedy music artists, you know, doing parodies of it. You know, how many parodies have there been of songs from Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and, you know, The Lion King? Tons of them. There's, like, nothing in... None of the songs in this movie really have that kind of a hook where
yeah.
you'd either catch yourself singing it, you know, or it'd be really hard to parody it without having to.
And this is coming from someone, you know, who's seen it 3 times now.
So. Yeah, I saw it for the 3rd time yesterday. It's kind of like Beetlejuice. It keeps getting better every single time I see it. So, having seen it a 3rd time, I got to say the songs I liked the best, or that I think are the best in general. Probably Almost There, the song that Tiana sings towards the beginning of the movie. The song that Raymond the Cajun Firefly sings, a down-tempo song. I don't want to say what it's called because it's kind of a, not really a plot
spoiler.
Point.
Spoiler.
It's, yeah.
No spoilers.
But, he sings a down-tempo song, a three-fourth tempo. That's what I sing? Yeah. And that better get nominated for Oscar for Best Song. It's just, I just think it, it may not necessarily deserve to win, but when you think about how many other musicals came out this year.
Yeah.
So I definitely think it's worthy. But my favorite song is probably the one sung by the Shadow Man, the bad guy, Dr. Facilier. And I think that whole animated sequence in his song lives up to, like, Poor Unfortunate Souls and Be Prepared.
Yeah, it's pretty, like, good bad guy song.
Yeah,
I don't really remember it, but I think I would...
It was like
mind listening again.
It was, are you ready? And like all the little voodoo guys are boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Transformation Central, and it's basically one of those like songs from a musical where the plot is being explained. It's explaining what's happening with a couple other characters and also revealing that the bad guy has a plot to, make himself.
I can't remember what my favorite song was. I think they were in a boat, and that's about all I can remember. But
was it the When I'm Human song with
Yeah, I think that was probably my favorite. But I don't want you to consider this a spoiler, but something that bugged me about the movie, although it didn't really occur to me till later, but the main character's mom is a prominent figure in like the first half of the movie, and then like due to things that happen in the movie she kind of disappears and like she's never mentioned again or never there again. It's like so weird that like once these things happen where the mom is separated from the daughter, then like she just seems to cease to exist. That's kind of annoying.
Well, it's just kind of hard to figure out. I don't know, I guess there's ways they could have weaved her back in, but
yeah. It's
kind of like I don't know.
I mean, you would think.
Although it's
you would
interesting
think the daughter would say something about missing her or something. I think like her just existence just ceased at a certain point in the movie.
Yeah.
But anyways, we should probably move on because we're almost at the 30-minute mark and we've only played one song. And considering we don't even have that much on our, we don't have as much as usual on our little outline, we should be able to get this so where it's not that much longer than an hour.
Okay. Well, a couple more things I wanted to mention was the mother character. They really didn't go with the celebrity voice cast this time, and I think that is definitely a benefit to the movie. The mother, Tiana's mother, was voiced by Oprah Winfrey, and Mr. LaBeouf was voiced by John Goodman.
Other than that, obvious.
Other than that. And that was really good casting on both of those.
I actually didn't notice that the mom was played by Oprah.
Yeah.
Good casting.
Keith David, who did the voice of the Shadow Man, was, like, amazing. I love the Shadow Man. He's, like, probably one of my top five Disney villains now. He's just so cool. And for those
his
of you...
His little pouchy tummy was bothering me, though. It's just really
it bothers you?
Me. Yeah. It was, like, just distracting me. It's like, ew, a little pouchy tummy.
Well, it's details like that I find interesting. It is
interesting. It just was distracting.
Being the person who went to college in the hopes to become an animator, I was looking at the character design of him, even the shape of his ears. It's like, wow, they did such a great job on this. It's so cool.
Yeah.
He looked to me,
he was a little too close to Jafar, though.
Mm.
He was so similar to Jafar. Like they almost had to give him a pouchy tummy just so he looked less like Jafar. Jafar being the Aladdin villain.
Well, I coincidentally, when I was going to bed last night to fall asleep, I watched Aladdin.
The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing. I didn't mean to watch the whole thing, but I ended up watching the whole thing, and I think.
How late were you up?
I was up late.
Oh my god!
I'm stupid.
And you had to get up at 8 something to get here.
But Yeah, I don't. I think they're different enough. I mean,
okay. Well, we better wrap up this review.
Okay. The other thing, Keith David, I mentioned, voice of the Shadow Man. He was the voice of Goliath on the show Gargoyles.
So that's where
you might have heard that voice before.
I did used to watch that. I'm somewhat ashamed to admit.
And it was a good show. Super Disney.
I think it was because it came on before Darkwing Duck or whatever it came on before.
Yeah.
DuckTales or something.
And Super Disney fanatics, keep an eye out for there's a hidden, not really hidden, it's right there in the middle of the screen. There's a Disney reference that's like really quick. Back in the days of the old days, there was a movie, The Sword and the Stone, and there's a scene where Merlin is fighting a witch, kind of a crazy witch funny character named Madame Mim, I believe her name was, and she had kind of bushy hair. And there's this one scene in Sword of the Snow where she, like, grabs her hair and, like, pulls it out of her eyes and, like, kind of pulls it to the side like pigtails and goes like, ooh, like that in one scene with her. When Louie the Gator is describing Mama Odie, like, at the very end of his description of her, he, like, goes behind a willow tree and then, like, grabs the willow tree, pulls it to the side and goes like, ooh, and, like, he looks exactly like Madame Mim. Like, that's an obvious, like, we're making a reference to Sword of the Stone for those of you Disney fanatics who are paying close attention.
Yeah.
You know, it's like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Cool. So, yeah. Anyway, I give it 4 stars. What do you give it?
Out of 4? 4 out of 4?
Well, yeah, if we're doing the standard movie style rating.
I guess 2¾.
Okay, so that would be, like, roughly 3.5-ish.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the, yeah, and 2 thumbs up, or I give it a thumbs up. Do you give it a thumbs up?
Yeah.
Okay, so there we go. All right, now we are going to move on to, coming up in next week's episode, we're going to do another review. We're going to review the song, or the album, Nerd Songs by Insane Ian.
Which came out earlier this year.
Yeah, it came out at MarsCon, actually. And, we're sorry we're not fully prepared to review it right now. But in lieu of that, we're going to play a song by Insane Ian. It's a Christmas song from the album Nerd Song. So go to InsaneIan.com to get this. Are you ready, Carrie?
I'm ready.
All right, here's Insane Ian.
Gather round, children, as I tell you a tale of my favorite holiday activity. I'm sure it's one of yours. Christmas presents around the tree, but everyone just looks at me, cause I'm sitting at my PC, playing World of Warcraft. My Blood Elf is decked out in chainmail, cause it's the Feast of Wintervale. It's a World of Warcraft Christmas. Every year around this time, Great Father Winter comes, so ditch the fam and get online before the raids are done. Like the Lich King on his frozen throne, your favorite movie is Home Alone. It's a World of Warcraft Christmas. Frosty the Frostworm is a newborn dragon whelp. He is just the thing stop the Lich King, though I don't think he's much help. Ring the bells and deck the halls, kill a dwarf as the snow falls. It's a World of Warcraft Christmas. In the missing reindeer la, la, la. Is a jolly winter's quest. La, la, la. The poor flying thing's been kidnapped la, 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 la. By some evil ugly pests. La, 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 la. And if you save this reindeer, la, la, la. Smoky wood fills with glee. La, la, la. Your mount becomes a reindeer la, 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 la. To bomb raids as you please. The jingle pocket goblin said, cause his gifts are gone. So start a fire with all your lord, then you'll log on. A female elf is on my lap, she's sure to raise my level cap. It's a World of Warcraft Christmas. So go tell every girl and boy about Blizzard's winter joy and raise a glass to old Leroy.
Leroy Jenkins.
It's a World of Warcraft Christmas.
For the Horde.
Are you going to play the thing?
Yeah.
Okay, play the thing.
And now it's time for...
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spice, visit devospice.com. Compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney. And submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent. Cause I'm making soda means that you incriminate.
SandraRose.com featured the story of a mother who got really sick and tired of her baby being so, what's the word, bald. It's never too early for my baby to start looking glamorous like Beyonce, said the mother. What did she decide to do about the problem? She gave her kid some long, luxurious locks. Don't worry, she didn't get her a weave, which could be painful and dangerous for baby's head. She got her less dangerous, yet still fiercely fashionable, lace front wig. I wouldn't be caught dead without my lace front, and my baby won't either, this doting mother explained. Whether or not the mother has prepaid the intense therapy sessions for her kid is going to need to accompany this accessory is unknown. Remember, you want your kids to know how unsatisfied you are with them, especially in the looks department, as early as possible. And infancy is the perfect time to let them know mommy doesn't love you unless you change into whatever makes her happy. Now get into that operating room, Binky Boo. Mama got you breast implants for Christmas. You'll have the best rat kinder care has ever seen.
Moving on to a much more civilized part of the world, a Chinese man has signed a contract with his wife that entitles her to attack him once a week. The 32-year-old man named Mr. Zhang took the unusual step after suffering intense abuse from his wife, who studies kung fu. "I don't want to beat him, but arguments are inevitable and I can't help myself," his wife told the newspaper. She added that in the week before they signed the deal, she had beaten him up 3 times. Mr. Zhang said his wife, who was a sales manager at a trading company, has studied kung fu since her childhood and that he was attracted to her strong and independent temperament. He also admitted that he had suffered at her hand throughout their 6-month courtship. "Before we got married, she had a wild hairstyle, and I teased that it made her look like a tigress. During the argument that followed, I said some bad words, and I got a taste of her kung fu for the first time." He said that he had tried to bite his lip in order to avoid being punished, but that he never wants to lose an argument. And so always ends up with bruises and scars all over. In order to curb his wife's aggression, Mr. Zhang proposed signing a contract in front of his in-laws. If his wife breaches the contract, she has to return to her parents' home for 3 days. "She is very obedient to her parents, and her parents will support me and blame her," he said. His wife said that she always feels regret when she sees her husband with a black eye. "Now that we have a contract, I will force myself to drop the use of force," she said. Mr. Zhang's parents told the newspaper that although they felt bad that their son was regularly attacked, the couple is a good match. "They have a good marriage, so we can say nothing about it," said his father.
"We've installed a hidden microphone in their house, so you can hear a typical night at home with the Zhang family."
"Honey, I'm home."
"Did you pick up pork for dumplings from the grocery store?"
"No, I forgot."
"Boot to the head."
"Ow."
"Did you pick up luxurious Beyonce wig for the baby Zhang?"
"Oh, no, that's so stupid! Stupid!"
"Boot to the head."
"Ow."
"Who that?"
"I invite friends over for Go tournament."
"I no give permission."
"Oh, we'll have to gang up on her. Get her, guys!"
"Boot to the head." Back in good old River Falls, Wisconsin, on an early Sunday morning, police took a woman into custody that they found on West Johnson Street, naked, holding a sword in a threatening manner, and screaming. Yep, just another Sunday morning in River Falls, Wisconsin. She was taken into custody and then moved to a medical facility. It was first assumed that this woman was trying to land herself a Chinese husband, but it turns out she's already married. Her husband had the following comment.
"Leroy Jenkins!"
You know, if she was looking for a fight, it's a good thing she didn't run into a naked man, because she'd lose.
"What makes you say that?"
"Don't you know? The penis mightier than the sword?" And finally, here's a story about a literal food fight. let's see. Two Germans needed hospital treatment after they fought a pitched battle in a supermarket with salamis used as clubs and a chunk of Parmesan cheese brandished like a dagger. The fight took place in the western city of Aachen.
Gesundheit.
And, let's see, when the 74-year-old man and a 74-year-old man and a 35-year-old woman both laid claim to a shopping trolley on Saturday. As the pensioner wrestled the cart from the hands of his rival, her 24-year-old brother stepped forward and floored him with a punch. Together with their 53-year-old mother, the brother and sister then took the trolley into the supermarket. But then the old man came around and followed them to the cheese counter. He clubbed the younger man with a salami, which ironically was later used in a club sandwich, as his mother tried to fend him off with a 4-pound piece of Parmesan. I guess they were out of sharp cheddar. Mm. The pensioner then pushed the woman down on a glass countertop on which she cracked her head. The police arrived to break up the melee. 2 of these involved were treated in a hospital for minor injuries. All the lawbreakers were rounded up by police and taken to the local mall where they were prosecuted in the food court. There they got their just desserts, and after a night in the cooler, they were fined 50 clams and lime served. I can keep going.
Don't. People are stupid, and once again, they've proven it.
Squash!
This has been News of the Stupid.
Yay! All right, what's next? We're going to talk about this topic now? Or do we want to
play... Can we play a song?
Oh, we can play the... It's not a song, it's a track.
A track.
By the best comedian living, performing today... Mr. Patton Oswalt, and he, I have tickets to go see him. Me and Sarah are going to go see him the day after Christmas at the Lakeshore Theater.
Yeah, I'll be in Minnesota.
And this track is...
I have to go to the bathroom. I'll listen to it later.
Okay, fine.
I'll hear it.
All right,
I do love to listen to my own voice, so I always listen to our podcast.
All right, so here is a piece about the song called Christmas Shoes by Patton Oswalt.
Christmas is come and gone, but boy, one thing about Christmas will not leave me alone, and that is a song that they play at Christmas time. It is the eeriest, most horrific Christmas song I've ever heard, and I like Christmas music, so I'm not against Christmas music. I'm against this dark, disturbing song, and it's called Christmas Shoes, and it's a... Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Jesus God. The song is called Christmas Shoes, and it's by a Christian group called New Song, which I don't know why would you name your group New Song? You're just going to be living in an Abbott Costello routine for the rest of your life. Yeah, we got a new song. By who? Exactly. What? Oh, fuck this. So, the song is called Christmas Shoes, and I'm going to take you through it very briefly. So the first verse of the song is, "It was almost Christmas time. There I stood in another line, just trying to buy that last gift or two, not really in the Christmas mood. Oh, there's a guy in line at a store. He's a little cranky. He's a little cranky at Christmas time. Meh." And by the way, I'm going to recite these lyrics because the dude that sings it like this. "It was almost Christmas time. There was..." Because that's his way of saying, look, I'm singing in a Christian rock band. Ladies, make no mistake, I will lay the fucking pipe into you. You're not... If I get you back in my room at the La Quinta Inn next to this state fair where we're playing, God's telephone pole will have you chanting the sick evening prayer. So, all right, so that's the first verse. The guy in line is a little cranky. Now, standing right in front of me was a little boy waiting anxiously, pacing around the way little boys do, and in his hand he held a pair of shoes. Okay, little kid in front of him holding a pair of shoes. Here comes the next verse. His clothes were worn and old. He was dirty from head to toe. So he's like a Dickensian street urchin. In a world full of ham sanitizers, he's, "Have you got a halfpenny, sir? Then how about a smile?" "And when it came his time to pay, I couldn't believe what I heard him say." Here comes the chorus of the song. Chorus starts off pretty good, then it takes a hard left turn into Assholeville. So hang on. Get your seatbelts on. "Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve, and these shoes are just her size." That's sweet. He's buying shoes for his mom. That's really nice. Hang on. "Could you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. She's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight." The kid's mom is dying. He is buying her shoes so when she gets to heaven... By the way, I missed the part of the Bible where Jesus is really bitchy and catty about people's footwear when they get to the pearly gate. "You're not getting into heaven in those, honey." "No, I'm sorry. I died for your sins, but those pumps are unforgivable." Paul Ingle all of a sudden. All right, so he's buying shoes for his mom on Christmas Eve. Here comes the next verse. "He counted pennies for what seemed like years." He's paying for the shoes with fucking pennies. Pennies! "Then the clerk said, 'Son, there's not enough here.' what kind of psychotic asshole hears that this kid's mom is dying? He's paying in pennies. Yeah, you're 6 cents short. How about that? Yeah, life's a bitch, isn't it? That's not our policy here at Fashion Bug. I don't know what to tell you. That 6 cents comes right out of my paycheck. I can't help you. And then, I'm not going to recite the rest of these goddamn lyrics. The little kid turns around to the guy in line and goes, I don't know how I'm going to buy these shoes. Which now it starts to sound like a scam. Like maybe the kid, they're just going to, the kid and his dad are going to different stores. The dad's out in the parking lot in a beat-up Chevy Nova with a trunk just filled with women's shoes. They're just covered in jizz. He's like, listen, go in there. You've got to trick a guy into buying them. I can only jerk off to these if you trick a guy into buying them. That's what Vietnam did to me. So then, the guy, the grouchy guy in line, pays for the shoes, and the kid is happy, and he runs out of the store. Now we get to the bridge of the song. The bridge will make you lose all hope that we live in a just or sane universe. Here it comes. I knew I caught a glimpse of heaven's love as he thanked me and ran out. I knew that God had sent that little boy to remind me of what Christmas is all about. Let's review. There's a guy in line. He's a little cranky on Christmas. God looks down and sees this. Somebody in a bad mood on my son's birthday? Bullshit. Give that kid's mom cancer. Make sure he's in front of him in line. Make him 7 cents short for the shoes. This guy will buy them, and he'll be in a good mood. I almost feel like Jesus is behind God going, I don't think we need to give a kid's mom cancer. You shut the fuck up. It's going to be the best birthday you ever had. It's going to be the best birthday you ever had. Buddha gave me a hand job in the hot tub. I'm really lost, son. Merry Christmas. Good night. Woo! Thanks again, Lizard. Thank you so much.
Yep.
We were just having a discussion about weight loss. I was saying it, unless you have like unlimited amounts of time to exercise, like the people on The Biggest Loser, weight loss has more to do with, in a normal person's life, has more to do with cutting calories than it has to do with exercise.
Yeah. And also incredibly bad eating habits, because the pattern, especially when I lived in Kenosha by myself, the pattern was always this. I'd wake up, I'd start working on some project, and I'd be working on the project and working on the project and working on the project, and then suddenly I realize it's 9 p.m., and I go, oh, I haven't eaten yet today. So then I'd make myself some big thing to eat, usually like, you know, a can of Skyline chili with spaghetti and cheese and crackers, and then sit down, watch TV while I eat that bowl of carbs, and then go to sleep.
Yeah. That's not a good way to,
you know,
live.
Repeat. You know, not exactly like that, but that's the general,
you know,
idea.
If you did that on like a couple days a week, and then you mixed it up, and other days you had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, I think from everything I've been learning in my weight loss adventures, it's really good to mix it up and have different things happen on different days.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not like you can never do that necessarily, but doing it every day, not good.
I have cut down the amount of soda I'm drinking by not buying it and bringing it home.
Good idea.
So
we had crossed off Weight Watch on our topic list, and we talked about it anyway.
Well, we talked about me, you know.
my weight loss adventures are are kind of slowing down right now because partially because I'm sick and partially because it's that time of year when it's the hardest time of year to be a Weight Watcher. So I'm having these, like, you know, certain days or certain hours where I just want to, like, give up and go on a, like, a crazy binge, and haven't actually done it yet, but it's a hard time of year to do this, but, you know, I got to do it because, if I haven't already mentioned this on the podcast, I'm diabetic, and I'm 31, going to be 32 in a couple months, and I've never been pregnant, and I'm married, and my husband Josh and I want to have a kid, and for me to, as a diabetic over 30, to get pregnant, they want me to get down to a healthier weight, so that's... Oh, for goodness sake. I have my phone on silent. Turn your phone on silent, for the love of bad report.
Okay.
So, anyways, moving on from Weight Watch, we're going to briefly discuss a topic idea that I had, but that we'll probably revisit from time to time. And Luke's going to go first.
Although there was a practical purpose possibly from getting this thing. It's a tweet from Ken.
Who says?
He says in the tweet, can't donate blood today and is unsure when he will be donating again since he has to now stay home with his kid on Saturday mornings. So the possible practical benefit of that is that if we wanted to call Ken, we could.
Yeah.
I was assuming we wouldn't be calling Ken because he'd be asleep, but he's not.
Well, no, he doesn't sleep this late anyway.
Oh, all right. So Carrie had an idea for a topic, and it is a topic that we'll kind of touch upon and then revisit as time goes on, because if we tried to do the all-encompassing version, we'd be, you know, talking until New Year's.
Yes.
But the overall idea of the topic was, what projects would we do if we just had the time and the resources to
work on? Not necessarily projects, just anything. What would we do with... The topic is called, what would we do with our time if we had any?
Oh, I thought you meant, like, projects, but...
Projects or anything. Okay. Just whatever. Whatever you'd do with your time if you had some time to do with. So, Luke's gonna start.
Well, you know, this kind of touches back, too, to the whole Princess and the Frog Disney animation discussion. I very much love animation. I've loved it my whole life. When I was a kid, I used to make animated films with my mom's 8mm film camera by, you know, doing stop-motion animation one frame at a time. I also did some cardboard cutout.
Listening. I just need to grab a Kleenex.
Okay. Some cardboard cutout, like, you know, flat-style animation like the original South Park before, you know, they got all flash animated. And, of course, you know, regular hand-drawn cartoons, I loved them so much growing up that when I went to college, the main thing I was attempting to do was become an animator. I actually applied to the big animation school in California, Cal Arts, and I got rejected. The main reason I got rejected, in my opinion, is that I didn't have any life drawing skills, because in high school my art teacher's idea of art was like a painting of a field and a duck, you know, or like a wooden sculpture of a fish. He was like a very, you know, hunterman, you know, hunting, fishing, you know, like if he could have a gallery in like Uperland of like, you know, you know, outdoor scenes, deers, it's like everything he created was like, you know, out of the pages of Field and Stream. And it's like, hi, I'd like to learn how to draw human beings in proportion, you know, in a way that looks like reality so that I can go become an animator for, you know, a company. And basically, it was epic fail. And I ended up getting accepted at Kansas City Art Institute, which told me they taught animation there. And they accepted me, and it wasn't until about a year and a half in that they pulled a, you know, I found out that they had pulled a bait and switch on me where it's like, I show up at the, you know, office. I'm like, okay, well, where are these animation classes I want to sign up for? And they're like, oh, we don't actually teach animation here. We can just prepare you for an internship with Disney. And I'm like, you know, this is not what I came here for. This was the era of The Simpsons, Ren and Stimpy, Beavis and Butthead, this idea of creator-based comedy animation television being a new big profitable thing, and I had at least one really big idea, if not more than one, for, you know, a TV show I'd like to pitch, you know, with characters I created for, and developed over, you know, since junior high school. And I didn't get to learn any of that practical knowledge. The last semester I was there, they had one actual animation class taught by a teacher who had I had had in previous classes, and I tried to sign up for it, but he wouldn't let me in. I even went to the head of the department to get him to force this guy to let me be in, and he still kicked me out. I showed up on the first day of class with the paper I was supposed to have, and he basically said to me in front of everybody else in that class, "I'm sorry, Luke, you can't be in this class because you're just going to," and I quote, "draw cartoons all the time." Let me repeat that. I wasn't allowed to be in the animation class because I was going to draw cartoons all the time.
Isn't that what you want to learn to do in an animation class?
Yes. Now, I know the point he was trying to make is that there's a lot of steps to learning how to become an animator that aren't just, you know, Mickey Mouse. You know what I mean? It's like you got to go, you have to learn a lot of skills. And you know what? I was there to learn those fucking skills because I didn't know them. And last semester of the you know, $10,000 a year freaking fine art school I went to, my one chance to learn how to do something practical, and I got shut down. So I really don't have any...
That's fucking bullshit, man.
Yeah,
wow.
That's why I'm really fucking bitter about my college experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to... It's like doing that whole Doc Brown Back to the Future alternate reality timeline thing. If I hadn't gone to college, in Kansas City, I wouldn't have started listening to the Dr. Demento show, which in turn led to the rest of my life and lots of awesome things. So I can't sit here and be all like, "I wish I had never gone." And I did learn there. I mean, my ability to draw greatly improved over that 4 years, and I did learn actual things, and I did get a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in illustration.
Your lifelong dream of becoming an animator was crushed.
Basically, yeah. Now, you know, a few years earlier, you know, Mike Judge out in Texas bought an animation filming, you know, setup from somebody used for like $300 and created a bunch of short films for Spike and Mike's and MTV's Liquid Television, and that's where Beavis and Butthead came from. He was self-taught.
Yeah.
He was entirely self-taught, and he got a career that led to Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, you know, and many other big projects. So it's like, you know, I'm kind of disgruntled that I could have gone the do-it-yourself route and maybe created something, you know, animated that, you know, had gone on to fame and fortune. But now look at the internet. Tons of people do that, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, the overall point being, if I had time, I'd want to learn how to animate. And it's like, I'm still a... As far as the various types of animation go, my favorite is still classic 2D hand-drawn cell-by-cell animation. That's what I'd want to try to do. And the main thing I'd want to try to do with it, if I could learn how to do it, and if I had the proper hardware and software to do it, would be to create music videos to funny songs. And I'm not even necessarily saying my funny songs. I'd want to do it for my friends' funny songs or for classic funny songs.
Yeah. He always talking about his music video ideas for Dementia songs.
Yeah.
And it's not just his song.
I mean, like, you know, like, every time I hear the song by Worm Quartet, "I'm Not a Girl," I'm continuing to storyboard it out in my head what the music video for that would be.
Yeah.
You know, and...
That's a great song.
"That Calls for a Wilhelm Scream" is another one. There's so many cool songs by my friends, and there's so many cool songs from the history of comedy music that could use a great animated music video. Like, here's the type of thing I'm talking about. Tiny Toon Adventures, in their first season, did an episode where it was basically like their kind of parody of MTV, but they took real songs and made videos to go with them using the Tiny Toons characters. The first segment of the show was two songs by They Might Be Giants: Istanbul, Not Constantinople, and Particle Man, using Plucky Duck as the main character.
Wow.
And they're awesome. And as a side note here on Tiny Toons, those of you who watched it, it's like they had different animation companies working on this show. So some of the episodes were animated beautifully and pristinely, very high quality for kids' afternoon television. Other episodes looked like total pieces of shit. They like were animated so crappily that I can't believe Spielberg wanted his name to be on them. So Tiny Toons was kind of a hit-or-miss show both in writing and in animation quality. But this was one of the really good ones. This is probably one of the best episodes they ever did. They had Montana Max sing the song Money. You know, best things in life are free. You know, that whole thing. I believe Babs did Respect by Aretha Franklin. And I know there were more in that episode, but I can't remember what they are. So I would like to create, like, either, well, you know, ideally like a half-hour TV show. But, you know, that's kind of in pipe dream land. You know, more in the realm of possible reality would be, like, you know, an internet channel, a YouTube channel, or a website where I could, you know, create animated music videos for all these funny songs and post them on the internet for the world to see. And the name of the thing, if I have a perfect name for it, if I ever did it, it would be called Dementasia.
That'd be awesome.
Because it's kind of the whole idea of Walt Disney's Fantasia for him was taking classical pieces of music and coming up with animations that, you know, go with that song, you know, so look, you know, refer to Fantasia and Fantasia 2000 to see, you know, the type of thing they're talking about. So, you know, with most funny music, you know, it has a narrative that you can follow, but you know, sometimes it's just up to your own brain and your creativity. So that's what I would love to do. I would love to be creating animation of pretty much, you know, just to be doing it in general would make me incredibly happy, but more specifically, it would be cool to take on the project of doing a bunch of really cool animated, you know, in classic 2D hand-drawn style, animated music videos for funny songs by either myself, my friends, or the classic funny music thing. Dementasia is what I call it.
Well, maybe an amazing fan will give you some amazing software for Christmas or something. I could go on about my crushed life dream and, you know, my bitter stories from high school and college and everything, but since we're only going to mention one thing, I was actually, my initial thought was to make a top 10 list of things I'd do with my time if I had any. Apparently making a podcast is something we'd do with our time.
Yay!
You know, but
we got to something! Woo! Yay for us!
But, you know, since we're only mentioning one thing, we can make this a recurring segment. What would we do with our time if we had any? I've become really interested in the cakes that I see on CakeWrecks.com. Well, the ones that I see on the Sundays, anyways, when they show nice cakes, like really nicely sculpted, font, some with fondant and some fondant-free, and you know, I have very limited baking abilities, but I'm a very artistic-minded person, and it's a really strange thing for a, you know, diabetic Weight Watcher to want to do, but I'd really love to learn how to make a really pretty cake, because it's a piece of cake to bake a pretty cake.
Yes. I often say that to Sarah, and when I say that to her, her response is always the same thing. That bitch lies!
Yeah, because it only took her, what, at least 3 days to make my wedding cake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how awesome was that cake?
It was really fucking awesome. It was probably even better than the one that, the picture of the one from Sedona wedding cakes that I wanted her to copy. I think hers was even better.
Yeah, your jaw was on the floor. You were so just flabbergasted by how awesome that cake was.
The pink wedding cake that Luke's fiance Sarah Trice made for my wedding on May 30th to Josh. The pink wedding cake with hearts and roses on it was fucking amazing.
But then she made the other cake.
She also made a fondant-free cake wreck groom's cake that, what did it say on it? Congratulations on your weeding. On your weeding.
And your was Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, and yep. Just it was made intentionally to look like a horrible piece of crap cake.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, she did a good job with that, too. So I guess we'll just make this a recurring segment because so many things I'm sure
to some slight degree the whole thing about me bitching about my college experience could sort of be considered things that Luke rants incessantly about brain shut up.
I don't think your brain's gonna shut up about that one. So we're gonna do plugging now.
Yep.
Plugging now.
Time for what's Luke plugging now? Yeah. What's at the Fump? What's at the Fump? What's at that Fump? Funny Music Project. I really hope Chris does these things.
That would be awesome.
You know, because it's like, hi, Chris, it's Luke. Can you do a bunch of things for me? I know you're busy and it's Christmas, but here, do things for me, and yeah, be my music monkey, you know.
Yeah, so well, I don't
whenever,
think we'll get them.
You know, if and when Chris can get around to doing them, that's awesome, and we love you, Chris. Go to powersalad.com to hear more, and voiceguy1.com to hear all of Chris Mezzalista's awesome voiceover work.
Yeah, and I'm going to be probably working on a Fump song with Spaff and Chris Mezzalista in the near future, so that's going to be awesome.
So anyway, what's at the Fump right now? The Hanna-Barbera Polka is still there. It's at the bottom of the main page, so you can download it for free until this Tuesday. So it's hurry up and get it. Also, there is Ho Is on the Rag by Devo Spice, Toy Food by Lemon Demon, I Bagged a Tiger by Steve Goody, Blame the Elves by Money Shot Cosmonauts, Santa's Gonna Telecommute This Christmas by Power Salad, White Elephant by The Chris Waffle Experience, and All I Want for Christmas is Stuff by TV's Kyle. TV's Kyle, he'd be someone I should ask about that whole hardware, software, animation 2D thing.
Yeah.
You know, because basically I've been living vicariously through him, because he actually gets to work in the field to some degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So TV's Kyle is awesome. Anyway, the free MP3 of the week at the time I'm recording this is Christmas at Hogwarts. So go to LukeSki.com, TheGreatLukeSki.com, either one works, for Christmas at Hogwarts. Or if you're there, if you just miss it, sometime on Sunday it'll switch over and the free MP3 of the week will be It's a Fanboy Christmas 2, The Wrath of Claus. And that's significant because the week previous to Christmas at Hogwarts, I had It's a Fanboy Christmas, the original, up as the free MP3 of the week. And that's the first time either of the Fanboy Christmases has been the free MP3 of the week. So, that's kind of significant in my little corner of the universe. So either Christmas at Hogwarts or It's a Fanboy Christmas 2 is the free MP3 of the week at LukeSki.com, depending on when it is when you visit there. And of course, if you're going to be visiting my website, you can also buy merch there. There's CDs, there's t-shirts, they cost money. If you hurry up and order them now, you can get them just after Christmas, probably. I don't know. It depends on how quickly you order things.
You can always buy MP3s for people for Christmas.
Yes.
That you can buy on Christmas Eve for all you like.
Word. And then there's artbylukeski.com. If you want caricatures by me, go there and you can get them. Also, cartooning and chibis and stuff, artbylukeski.com. We'll be performing at VisionCon 2010 in Springfield, Missouri, January 22nd through 24th. Go to visioncon.net to find out more about that. So that leads us to, of course, MarsCon 2010, Dementia Track, Fundraiser, CD, MP3 set, blah, blah, blah. You've heard it all before. MarsConDementia.com. Please, for the love of freaking God, buy the CDs and or MP3s of that, because we're only about maybe 1/7 of our way to the goal we need. So, yay. All right. Time for What Shade of Pink is Carrie Wearing?
You're supposed to ask me if I had anything to plug.
Oh, did you have anything to plug?
I'm giving him an evil, dirty, angry look. I'm going to be appearing with the Park Ridge Community Church Chancel Choir this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're going to be singing Vivaldi's Gloria, a 33-minute choral work, and hopefully I'll get a chance to actually look at that before tomorrow. most of you probably won't hear this in time to attend, but that's what's happening tomorrow morning. And then I'll be appearing at MarsCon. That's probably my next appearance after that.
Word. So what shade of pink are you now wearing?
I'm wearing a shade of pink that is dangerously close to a shade of pink known as anti-carry pink. This is a dark pink that shouldn't be called pink, in my opinion. It should have another color name for it because it's too dark to be a happy pink that I like. And this is my... whatever. And this is,
if you do a goth album, it'll be called Dark Pink.
Well, I mean, those who know me well know that I don't like dark pink. I'd rather have something, you know, be red than to be dark pink. I like red a lot better. I like a lot of colors better than I like dark pink. But people give me But because people give me pink things, people give me dark pink things a lot. In this case, I'm wearing my Nothing But Trouble t-shirt, and what does it say on the back?
Boom Chick Girls.
Yes. Because we sing a song, we sing an arrangement of Stand By Me where my Alto 2s go boom, chick, boom, 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 chick, boom, 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 chick, boom, 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 chick, boom. And that's how we got the Boom Chick Girls nickname.
Ah. Well, alrighty then. Do we do ignorant stories first or presents first?
Let's do ignorant stories first.
Okay. So I got one from last week, and it was at Ed DeBevick's. And this is, I've mentioned this probably many times before. When somebody comes up to me and they say they want to get a character that has a body and background, especially if it's going to be in color. So, oh, I want one body and background. Okay, what kind of body and background would you like? What do you mean? And I'm like, okay, you said you wanted one with a body and background. This presumably means you want to be drawn as something or in a situation or, you know, doing something that you're interested in. And, you know, just it just aggravates me because I'm just kind of like, why are you asking for, you know, the next level up item if the specific nature of that item is something you have no thoughts or opinions on?
Well, when I get a character from you, I ask for a body and background and then I don't tell you what kind, but you actually know me, so
yeah.
You can come up with something without me telling you.
Yeah,
complete strangers that are expecting you to be creative on their behalf.
Yeah. So, like, if I'm at Key Lime Cove, I always, if they're like, I don't know, you make something up, I always go with, like, a, you know, beach scene and a couple of stock bodies, depending on who the person is and how old they are, and, you know, it's like, fine, beach scene, Key Lime Cove, whatever, I don't care. If you don't care, I'm not going to care. And then if it's Ed DeBevick's, I'll either draw them inside the Ed DeBevick's restaurant or kind of out on the street in Chicago with, like, Ed DeBevick's behind them in the Sears Tower or whatever. So, you know. But so this kid sits down, had to have been about 8 or 10, something like that. And he's like, oh, you know, he gives me $20. He's like, I want to get one with the full color with the body and background. And he sits down. I'm like, okay. I take his money. What kind of body and background do you want? Oh, I don't know. And I said to him, so you want one with a body and background, but you don't know what kind of body and background you want? He's like, I don't know. Could you just make something up? And I'm like, all right. I said, so I took a beat and I said, how about if I draw you as a fairy princess? And I said that as a joke. I wasn't really going to do that. But then his reaction to that was, no! World War II! And I'm like, World War II? And I'm like, he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Are you sure that's what you want? Yeah. Doing something with World War II.
So he wants you to draw some happy Nazis.
Yeah, so, I mean, my first thought was Inglorious Bastards. Like, hell yeah! We ain't in the caricature business. We're in the killing Nazi business. And business is booming.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, okay. You know, and it made me think to myself, too bad it wasn't World War I. I could have done him flying and fighting the Red Baron.
Yeah.
But it's World War II. So I'm like, what can I draw as a 10-year-old kid with his parents hanging out nearby, what can I draw for World War II that won't seem inappropriate? And once again, I don't know the motives of this kid's saying World War II, because maybe he's interested. Maybe his grandfather was in World War II. Maybe he's, you know, did a thing on it for school.
Maybe he likes Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe there's a genuine thing. So in my brain, I thought, okay, landing on the beach at Normandy.
Uh-huh.
So I did a drawing of him, and, you know, coming out of, I know it's not a U-boat, whatever that kind of boat was that had the thing that opens up and bam, you're on the beach, and then we all walked out, you know. So I just had him, you know, coming off one of those boats wearing a green army outfit and holding a gun, you know, and I gotta say, I'm not an expert on guns, so when it comes to drawing them, it always ends up looking like some kind of, you know, Han Solo laser blaster. So I did my best to make sure this actually had, like, a bullet clip coming out of it with a bunch of bullets, so it could maybe sort of be construed as a World War II gun. Good thing it was a color caricature, too. So, as I'm drawing it, and I'm way beyond the point of, you know, I've done it in black and white, at this point I'm probably coloring it, I asked the kid, so, why did you want to get a World War II drawing? And he said, I just said the first thing that came to my head. But what I'm really into is skateboarding, snowboarding, and playing soccer.
Oh my god, what a dumb kid.
Parentheses, pregnant pause, parentheses. I probably should have had you draw me as one of those, huh? In my head.
I'd How be doing old was this kid again?
10.
Oh my god. What a dumb 10-year-old.
I took a picture of the caricature.
He just wanted whatever struck him as being the anti-fairy princess.
Yes. So apparently, for those of you keeping track on the, opposites board, the opposite of a fairy princess is World War II.
Okay. We need to make some more things on the opposite board later episodes, but we're at the 1 hour and 15 minute mark, so let's open presents and then do our outros and final songs.
This is for you and Josh from me and Sarah.
Okay. Your present is just for you, and Sarah's presents are in the car already.
Okay.
And Josh isn't here, so I'll open the presents.
Is he coming back?
I guess. I'll have to call him soon. Here, let's power this baby back on so I can maybe text him. Oh, no, I'm almost done. I have a feeling this is more of a Josh present. No, this is a me present. Red Dwarf, the director's cut, the latest season. Yay! Now I have a complete collection again.
Woot.
Thank you, Luke and Sarah. That's a sweet gift.
Have you even watched the part 3?
Nope.
Well, now you can start.
Now I can watch it on an actual TV instead of a computer.
Yes.
That's probably why I haven't watched it.
And you could probably start over since it's a director's cut. There might be new footage you haven't seen.
I don't like watching things on computers very often. And another giftie. Two gifties. Uh-oh, this looks exciting. The Entertainment 2010 coupon book. Wow! Now I get to put it in my, I was hoping I could grab it so I could prove it exists, but, I get to put it in my little, file folder that says, coupons, there's a snowman's chance in hell of my actually using.
Well, you should check that out. There are lots of good things in there for money savings.
Thank you, Luke and Sarah. Mm. Hug.
Hug.
Okay, now Luke's gonna open his present from me and technically Josh by it's also from Josh by association of marriage,
yes.
And from all the reasons because I picked it out and paid for it.
Okay. Yay! It's the Boondocks first season, uncut and uncensored. Awesome. This is like one of the best shows made like ever.
Yeah, I enjoy it as well, and I have both season 1 and 2 on DVD box set, and I couldn't believe you still didn't have season 1 even, so I had to get you that. Because you're the one who got me interested in that show.
It's a pimp named Slickback. You say the whole thing, like A Tribe Called Quest. Yeah, seriously. When the Boondocks first came out, like, after the first few episodes, I'm like, this is so good that I am shocked it's on television.
Yeah.
It's like, TV doesn't make shit this good.
Yeah, the animation is amazing, and it's like, some of the episodes are so hilarious, and some of the other episodes are really, like, poignant. Like, I think there's two episodes in season 1 that made me cry, but I didn't like season 2 quite as much, but...
Well, the reason season 2 suffered was because the two best episodes, probably, of the season didn't air on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim because, like, Turner chicken shitted out and said they couldn't air them because they were basically ripping on the Black Entertainment Network.
Are they even making a season 3?
I don't know. I haven't heard if one is happening.
All right, so
apparently there isn't going to be a season 3 of Flight of the Conchords.
I know, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, look at it this way. Maybe they'll make a movie.
That would be nice.
Because I've noticed Jermaine is popping up in movies now.
Jermaine, not Jermaine.
Jermaine.
Yeah. I used to say that too, and I'm like, wait, there's no R in there. It's just Jermaine.
Brabra. Have you seen that episode yet?
I don't think so. But... it's
like, they meet a woman that they're both, you know, interested in, and it's like her name was Barbara. No, I think it was Barbara. No, it's Barbara. No, it's Barbara. There's no such name as Barbara. So anyway,
that's an awesome show. My favorite character is Mel the groupie, because I relate with Mel. I've been a groupie myself in the past. And
in the past.
My Cole's second favorite is Murray, the band manager, because he's hilarious. So what you wanted a reminder thingy?
Oh yes. So the show is almost over. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back just before New Year's with another episode, hopefully. And I want to remind you all, if you enjoy the show, to please go make comments. You can do the comments at either the website itself, badrapport.com, on this episode, or you can email them to badrapport@gmail.com. That is, of course, BADRAPPORT.
Or you can go to Facebook and go to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport section and leave comments there. You can tweet us at on Twitter. You can also
call the Bad Rapport voicemail line, which is 916-LUKESKI. And I know that some people are perturbed that I, you know, apparently most of these newfangled cell phones don't have the little alphanumeric thing on it anymore. So when say dial 916-LUKESKI, they're like, I don't know what to do.
What's the numerics of that then?
Let me get out my phone. Because
mine doesn't have that either.
You know what annoys me? I wanted to leave a message for myself as a reminder on the Bad Rapport voicemail line, and it wouldn't let me because it goes to like the menu, because this is the phone that's associated with it.
Well, then pick up someone else's phone and call it.
Whenever that happens, nobody else is around. So that would be 916-585-3754.
Yay.
So 916-585-3754 or 916-LUKESKI if you have it. So you can be like Pants. Pants!
Yay,
Pants! Sing the praises of Pants. You will never be alone because he picked up the phone.
Pants! All right. Time for outro and ending.
Okay.
And being done.
Have you heard this song before?
Nope.
Do you want to hear this song?
Sure.
All right. Well, this is the end of episode 6 of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. We're going out with a song that I hear at end of epics every Christmas called Christmas Train by RuPaul. So, thank you for tuning in.
And I'm Carrie.
And this is Carrie, and I'm Luke. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kickin' Kwanzaa, others.
Ramadan.
Yes, Ramadama Ding Dong. Happy New Year. Almost.
And 1, 2, 3, energy out!
jingle bells.